This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Hello, folks. Mitch here. You're listening to a Touchline Rant. It's episode 137, brought to you by Bendigedig Media, as always. This week, we've got a real treat for you. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago that Jordan and I selected our Premier League team of the year so far. This week, Mr. Alex Skinner and Mr. Luke Smalley will be doing the same, only there's a slight twist. And that neither of them can select players that Jordan and I selected. So Skinner and Luke will be picking the best of the rest, or in theory they should be. So listen for this. You're going to enjoy it, I think. There's some real, let's just say, interesting selections in there. Let us know what you think of the selections at A Touchline Rant on socials. And the whole thing will be ably hosted by the Gavner, Jordan Lloyd. So enjoy and cue the music.
Okay, welcome to the pod. As I'm sure you've already clocked, this is neither Luke or Skinner. It is, in fact, Jordan Lloyd. But today I am not here going through my frustrating sticker book. We are here for part two of Team of the Season so far, where the light is now being shone upon our two hosts. Say hello, Luke.
Hello.
And he might sound a bit tinny as he is recording from Addis Ababa. It is Skinner.
Good day, gentlemen. Good day.
How is it there?
Sunny with a splash of rain.
Beautiful. So, in episode 135, both myself and Mitchell Gadd went through our teams of the season.
It's very impressive.
We are now going back to ask what you two boys would pick as your team of the season. However, we thought it would be more fun if we stripped back the players that me and Mitch chose. So we had a free swing at a full Premier League. However, you guys have to pick others. We're allowed no duplicates. So if you haven't listened and you don't know our teams, go back to 135, listen first. This will all make sense. But right now, Skinner versus Luke in the ultimate team of the season so far. So, Luke, what formation have you decided to go for?
Well, Jordan, I have gone for a 4-2-3-1.
Very, very modern. Skinner, I feel like you might go a bit classic.
Well, a classic with a twist. I've gone a 4-3-3.
Nice.
I just noted before we get going that I literally have been looking forward to hearing what Mr. Skinner comes up with all week, because I've got so many ideas running through my head of players he's going to pick. I literally am so excited.
Well, it was a toss-up between getting the big names in, getting them all in on stats, or like as what Garth Crooks would do and make a hideously unbalanced team, or bring in a little bit of balance and it could potentially function. So this has been my mindset in creating this dream team of mine.
Nice.
Like actually, that's you. So I am going to start with Mr. Smalley. Luke, could you please tell us who is minding the goal for your team of the season so far, please?
It's my favourite bit.
I'm glad you went with me first, because this is going to, you know, this is the position where Skinner will go off on a 30-minute tangent. So it's important.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, you came to me first. Right, so there was a couple of choices, you know, obviously not including the goalkeeper that you and Mitch both picked, who it would have been my choice, which was Mr. Henderson for Sheffield United. However, I looked at the... I looked at everyone. There was a couple that I thought of. I thought Dubravka, potentially, Kasper Schmeichel. But in the end, I settled for Mr. Nicholas Pope of Burnley Football Club.
Left field.
He's got the most clean sheets out of every goalkeeper in the league this season. I think there was a point where it seemed incomprehensible for Burnley to not have Tom Heaton in goal, because Tom Heaton was such an important part of this squad. But to have a backup option, which is what he was in Nick Pope, as good as Nick Pope is, has proven to be kind of, it, almost in the way that they Leicester didn't need to replace Harry Maguire. You know, when Tom Heaton went and was injured and Pope's just come in. And he's actually improved them, I think, at the back line. Like I said, 11 clean sheets so far this season. And I think he's a fantastic keeper. He's good all round as well. He's a good shot stopper.
Do you think he's a lot of talk this year is going on, is Henderson going to be the England keeper for the Euros? It looks, you know, perhaps Pope is being unfairly kind of left out of the argument. Everyone's going Pickford or Henderson. You know, this, like you said,
I certainly think he's got fire coming back from injury the way he has done. He's performed very well. I just don't think he's the strongest overall.
I would argue that, yeah, very similar. I do think Pope's in. I would personally, I would prefer Pope in goal over Pickford, but
bloody mad, all of you.
I think Henderson would still be the strongest option, but is it too soon for him? I think Pope would be, if Pope was selected for the Euros as number one, it wouldn't shock me nor, you know, worry me.
You've got to, going back to Burnley as well, just on the topic, they've got, Dyche doesn't get the credit for managing to have a good squad and bring players through. They lost Michael Keane, bought through Tarkowski, England international, lost the keeper, bought through Pope, they bought through Dwight McNeil.
Yeah.
Actually, you look at what they've kind of got as a setup there and a structure there, and that's, you know, it's not, he goes out and buys the odd experienced player just to fill holes, but they've got a good depth there and they bring players through and he's done a good job there. They've got a good basis to be a Premier League club for a long time, I think. And they seem to play for him. That's why these players are getting mentions. So, Pope first for Luke. Skinner.
Madness. Absolute madness. Madness. That was left field. Right. You've confused me with that. Right. I'm going to crack on. Right, this is my most favourite one, the favourite pick where I pondered for quite a while because I thought of a lot of things. I thought of presence, I thought of shot stopping, thought of like general behaviour, attitude. I'll mention a few, but at the top of the list, it's between the two. I think I'm going to sway towards Edison. However, this is my theory behind it. Out of Edison or Alisson, now these come and transform the league in my opinion. They're fantastic new modern goalkeepers, and they've been fantastic, and they've just got that new presence to function in a modern team, like in with Pep, or like in, and it's, look at the impact that Alisson's had with that Liverpool team. It stands out a mile, right? It was one of Klopp's puzzle pieces which were missing, along with Virgil van Dijk. Like that is a dream. Like that defensive shield is an absolute dream. But a couple of other mentions. So I'd probably sway towards Edison to be my keeper in this team. However, the other names that I'm playing around with is Dubravka of Newcastle, who's performed fantastically well. A big shout out to the Aussie Ryan, who no one's mentioned. And he's doing wonders. Foster, he's got a stupid stat of like the most saves of Prem history or something like that within seasons or something weird like that. But the other two would be Schmeichel and Leno, which no one, well, you've mentioned Schmeichel, but Leno goes a little bit out of the way because I feel he seems a little bit unorthodox. I wonder why that is when he's had such a great season.
Leno was my honourable mention in my team last time. He was my sub goalkeeper, Leno. I think he's, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
I think he's an excellent goalkeeper. And this season, and he's come on as well. He's really consistent this year and his shot stopping is unbelievable.
He's outrageously well. He just goes under the radar quite a lot. But I see what you've tried to do with the Ramsdale thing. I just don't think he's the polished article just yet as with the other keepers that I've mentioned. Now, he's got such potential. He's performed absolute wonders, but it comes further than just shot stopping alone. I think he's certainly helped the team out a lot, Ramsdale, and has performed really highly and shown that potential. But I still think there's more to come from him.
Would you two, quick question on your keepers, both great choices, Everton and Pope, would you two guys say that the current crop of all the Premier League goalkeepers is the strongest the Premier League has ever seen? In terms of, if you look debating at every team's goalkeepers and spare keepers as well, you know,
you just don't get bad keepers in the Premier League. You just don't. Now, what I was toying around with in this transitional period, I was just always wondered, did we actually peak with our football? Like, not only in the Premier League, but just generally in the world. And I think I can't think of any better. The way technology always performs, the way training methods are, especially with like goalkeepers in itself, with the athleticism of the players, I certainly think that we peaked last year and this year, unquestionably.
I think like you say, it's not just the Premier League. I think the standards, I think goalkeeping is seen as more of a choice now for young, you know, like when you're a kid, you basically all want to play striker or, you know, somewhere like that, unless you're Skinner who goes straight in goal. But it's especially with playing out from the back, they're no longer just this person who stands behind in between some posts. They're an integral part of the side.
This is why Alisson and Ederson are so highly in regard when it comes to this way of being, because it slots perfectly into this sort of new way. You have more athleticism. It's like when Iker Casillas was like on his way out, and what's his name, the PSG keeper, his name
Navas,
like, he just owned him. Like, it's a different way of being as a goalkeeper. It's a transitional goalkeeper period in the history.
Yeah, well, look, a couple of years ago, Juventus's three goalkeepers were Buffon, Chesney and Perrin, all of whom could easily be, you know, number one for most sides in Europe.
Yeah.
Even if you just look at the Premier League, you know, Danny Ward doesn't get a game at Leicester. Romero is one of the best backup keepers in the world.
He is, yeah.
Ruddy's been unbelievably consistent at Wolves as his backup keeper.
Caballero.
Adrian filled in for Alisson, was incredible. Caballero. Stecklenburg is still a spare keeper.
Stecklenburg's still there. Wasted.
Yeah. Also, and I know it's not fashionable and maybe people will laugh, but I think Joe Hart at Burnley is a great backup option.
Joe Hart. He's a keeper.
He is a fantastic keeper, but he's fallen victim to the I don't know what happened. He just.
Do you know what he did?
Fell out of it.
Joe Hart did that horrendous head and shoulders advert, and that was the start of the downward slope.
I think the other way. I think you're on your way out. I'm going to grab what I can do.
He was England number one at that point. He was not on other shampoo.
Other shampoos are available.
When? He was Man City and England number one when he did that, I think.
Right. We will go to your left backs. We'll stay with you, Skinner. So, your pick this time. Who is your left back of your back four?
So, right. This one's tricky because we all know that that Robertson like certainly gets it. Like, in my opinion, Robertson is pretty much there, you know, and I don't want to tread on his toes. Certainly don't want to do that. But I don't know. I'd probably choose someone solid like Azpilicueta or Digne. I haven't decided yet. You see, I think Azpilicueta can just do a job there and do it consistently well.
I'm glad you've gone into this podcast having not decided some of your positions.
But you know what I mean? Like, taking out Robertson, I don't see too many people who are, like, Digne maybe. I don't see anyone who I can think of who I'd like your pick of Patrick Van Aanholt, because I think it's a great choice, you know, like, from what he does. Not hot on defending, but he can smash the wing.
So you are...
There's someone steady in there.
In your team of the season so far, you are playing Azpilicueta out of position at left back.
He's just a solid. He's just a
this
solid
is
little
why
pick.
I was looking forward to him doing this. I knew this would happen.
Look at the consistency of
not
Cesar.
A left back. He's not.
He's too consistent.
Okay, so I've done a quetta for you.
I just said, right? I would choose Robertson, but I can't.
Very true. You are shackled.
If I can't have Robertson, then fine. I'll just play Lacazette there.
This is what happens if you keep people cooped up with the rules. They can't fly. Right, Luke, who is your left back?
I'm gonna fly in the face of Alex Skinner's logic and pick an actual left back at left back. Luca Digne was someone who I did consider, but I've gone Ben Chilwell. I think Ben.
Fair. Yeah, I forgot about Chilwell.
This is prep work. Ben Chilwell at Leicester has been superb. I think again he's another solid option. As Skinner said, obviously I would go Robertson, but I think out of the rest of them, I think Ben Chilwell is clearly head and shoulders above.
Stop saying head and shoulders.
Stop talking about Joe Hart.
He is definitely above everyone else. I think Digne was close, but I do think Luca Digne had a better season last year. But yeah, I think Ben Chilwell has been an integral part of why Leicester are currently third in the league.
Yeah, very true. I still think underrated as well. Got money budgeted for him. He's actually underrated. He's got a lot of potential. Anybody got any shouts that could have made it? For me personally, it was Johnny Otto at Wolves is one of the most consistent footballers I've seen play for us. He doesn't have a bad game.
Nice.
Maybe not overly glamorous, but he's absolutely fantastic. He's so consistent. And funnily enough, out of most of the players that were ever injured for us, it was his loss on that left that really kind of hurt us. But yeah, there's a good choices all around. Stay with you, Luke. He was on the right-hand defence.
Okay, right-back was one that changed a couple of times for me because I couldn't pick between two players. The player that I've gone with is Wan-Bissaka at United, who, again, is a player that hasn't had as spectacular a season as he did when he was playing at Palace. But that's because at United, his role has changed than it was at Palace. He's been more on his defensive capabilities. Now, I've watched Man United beat Man City a few times this season, and Wan-Bissaka had Raheem Sterling in his pocket each one of those games. He's so defensively solid, and his physicality as well means that even if a winger gets a yard on him, 99 times out of 100, Wan-Bissaka will rein him back in.
Mm-hmm.
He's been incredible. It's a position that United have had issues with for a number of years, you know, basically going back to when Wes Brown left and, you know, because Gary Neville was out of the picture, Wes Brown took that over in 08 and we had to, you know, push Valencia back there. Rafael could have been superb and I still love him dearly, but Wan-Bissaka has come in and then very much like Skinner was saying about a missing piece of a puzzle. Right back was a huge missing piece of the United puzzle and Wan-Bissaka has just come in. He hasn't been fazed by the step up in, you know, in clubs, and he's just gone about his business superbly. The other player that I did consider was Matt Doherty, and he was originally going to be my right back, but I just had to go Wan-Bissaka because I do think defensively, I said it on your and Mitch's episode, I said I think defensively he's the best right back in the league. Obviously Alexander-Arnold would be my choice if I could, but you both had him. But like I said, again, in that, I think if I wanted a right wing back who's going to be basically a supplementary winger, I'll go Trent. If I want someone who's going to be defensively more solid and not focus so much on the forward side of the game, I'm going to go Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, in a flat back four, and it allows everybody else to go forward, and you know he's absolutely solid. I think he's been super consistent. Every time I saw United live, I don't think anybody really got the better of him at all, and he doesn't look fazed being at Man United. Like you said, he looks like a Man United player straight away. He's bought into the DNA of the club, and he just he looks like a good lad. He gets, you know, hard work in, and I think he'll be there for the right back for a lot of years to come. I think he's
a long time.
I think he's good. I think he'll. I do actually think he'll run Trent for his money for England as well. There's no reason why not. So, Skinner, who have you got playing at right back?
So I got, well, obviously, as we just mentioned, Trent Arnold has been phenomenal. Like, you two have chosen him. I actually did have Aaron Wan-Bissaka, but I wanted a couple of shout-outs in Perea. And it's, yeah, so Perea, I did have that down. And I think Ben Mee has been good as well. I like me.
Ben Mee, Burnley.
I like me.
Very good player. Yeah, very underrated solid. As well. Doesn't really get any sort of
consistent
credit.
Underrated. So if I'm not going those two, the big hitters, in that position, which I think we've all agreed on is between the two of them. Probably Trent gets it. But if it's not Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Perea, I'll probably look at Ben Mee because of that, as we've the aforementionable structured defensive line that is Burnley.
Yeah, so is me your choice?
Yeah, I'll go with that, just to be different.
Just to be different. Strong start. The defences are lining up well. So I'm going to ask you both now for your two centre-backs. So staying with you, Skinner, who is your centre-back pairing?
So the pairing probably would have been, like, there's no changing the fact that VVD should be in there. And I think probably Big Mac as well. But if I'm not choosing them, these are my choices. Laporte, Emerick Laporte of Man City. I'd still say he's underrated. They're a shambles of a team without him. They need him in the team, so much so that they play other people out of position when he's not available. I think his impact, which has just steadily gone under the radar, but he is Spanish top breed material, and he's in the Spanish squad as well.
He's French.
Laporte.
Yes.
Right. He's in my team.
He's not in the Spanish team.
he's high caliber, and he's played in Spain, so. That's that. Other picks I'd have in that position, Lundstrom and Evans, because this season they've been outrageously good, both of them.
Which one are you having? You picked the right.
Laporte.
Who else?
Who's your other one? Who's playing with him?
Oh yeah. So the other one playing with him, you know what? I'd put Ake in with him. Why not?
Nathan Ake.
Hang on. Yeah. Sorry to wrestle this off our host. But you just mentioned two centre backs if you couldn't have Laporte and then pick neither of them as your other centre back.
So they're just my little showers, which I'm just
I highly rate Ake. I think Ake is a very, very good player. And I think he's gonna get a move soon. I don't think he'll stay there. I think he'll be at one of the big boys soon. I think he's very, very good.
There we are, Laporte and Ake, why not? But a big shout out to Lundstrup and Evans.
Very good.
Johnny Evans.
So, Luke, who are your two centre backs?
Okay, my first one is Soyuncu at Leicester, because, like I said, they lost Maguire and they didn't miss a step. If anything, I mean, they've pushed on. Soyuncu just looks, he looks a proper centre back, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? He just looks a. He looks like one of. He looks like Steve Bruce, but European.
He looks exactly like Maguire. They've just said, "Go and get me someone who looks exactly like Harry Maguire."
The fact that, as well, because they obviously had him last season when they still had Harry Maguire at the club, and when they sold him for a ludicrous amount of money, and everyone expected Leicester to go out and buy another centre back, and they didn't because they had so much faith in him, and he's just repaid it. It's been great to see. My other centre-back, which Skinner mentioned, he's not actually playing as centre-back for Sheffield United. He actually plays as a centre midfielder, but he's listed as a defender on Fantasy Football, so I'm having him, which is Lundstrom. So even though he does play centre-mid, he's more of a defensive-minded player. And if he's on FIFA, he's a centre-back and a CDM. So it's fine. I will have him. I think Lundstrom, obviously, I had to have a Sheffield United player in at least one because they've been phenomenal. Just so out good. Of nowhere.
So good.
So yeah, that's the closest I'm going to get to a Garth Crooks moment is picking a centre mid at centre back. But I think it's a fair one.
Yeah, it's a good show. He's had a good season. No one go for Jack O'Connell of Sheffield United. He's been excellent. I think Lundstrom probably edges it. You're right. Any other shouts that could have made it? We've had a lot of centre backs picked, and obviously Mitch and I picked a couple.
Yerry Mina needs a shout out, I think.
Yerry Mina,
yeah, it's got high quality, good caliber,
good play.
And he's starting
I think we're still going to see more, more of him.
If we were just picking, obviously we're picking across the best who performed this season, not just you know someone who's been great over a few. We're only picking out of the. If we were just picking from who's been the best in the league since the turn of the year,
Willy Bolly.
I do think. Well, I do think
obviously
Willy Bolly would be one of them. I also think Mustafi deserves a mention. Since the turn of the year, he's been phenomenal for
very
Arsenal.
Good. He has been very good indeed.
Is that blonde? Is that bleached blonde hair? Since he did his hair, he's been another player. And I just do think it deserves a mention because everyone is very, very quick, myself included, to laugh at Mustafi because he can be an absolute shambles of a human.
Shouldn't laugh at people.
But he has been, he's turned it around. Especially the last sort of like, 10 games, I would say, Arsenal played. Mustafi has been arguably one of their best
perhaps players. It's to do with the Arteta coming in. Perhaps there's been a new change in training, changing something in, but perhaps Arteta is getting the best out of him. And at the end of the day, he's German international experience. If you get him backfiring, it's like a new signing. What a player to have to sort out your defence. Yeah. Wicked. So that's the defending done. Now for a bit of attacking. So you've both got different numbers in your midfield. So, would you go through your three and just kind of tell us, is there a base of the three or is it just a flat normal three?
So there's two structures at the base. There's one sitting in the middle. Yep. So that would be the interlink between the two. So my two sitters, like if we spoke about this balanced team a little bit more. If I can't like you pick the one I was looking at, which is Henderson, which does it all. He does it all in that position.
Perfect.
That's cool. But if I'm choosing those two players to sort of be protection as well as interlinking and just be solid, I would choose one of them would be Saar of Watford. I think he's been performing very well. So be in the middle there with either, these are the three ones, and I'll choose one in a minute, Højbjerg, Fred, or Jorginho.
Yeah.
So these would be my two little places there. Fred has been underrated, and he never gets injured, if you notice. Never, ever gets injured. And I think once he gets his confidence back, I think that he will go on and kick on and to another level. I've always loved Jorginho's game because of that control in feet. Like he just keeps everything ticking over, and he is wherever team he's played in, he's proved himself to flow like for the game to flow through him. And Højbjerg would just be he's an underrated animal, is what he is. So screw it, I'm gonna go Højbjerg.
Saar, Højbjerg, Fred, did you say, or Saar, Højbjerg?
No. So they're my two sitters. So I've got Højbjerg, Saar, and I'm going to go with Bernardo Silva because I can't have that KDB role because you've got him. I've got Bernardo Silva just sitting above them to just dictate play even more.
He's one of my favourite players in the Prem, Bernardo Silva. I think he's absolutely incredible. The wonderful. Way he just glides about.
He's just another level. So why not? Højbjerg starts sitting with Bernardo Silva just ahead of him. I would have chosen either Wijnaldum or Maddison as well in that Bernardo Silva role, but it's all Silva.
Fantastic. Great choices there. Watford player in there and Southampton players. It's good to look at, even if a team hasn't had their greatest season, there's still some good star performers in there. And obviously since their 9-0 drubbing, Southampton really turned it around and actually, it's gone to the table. And it's players like Højbjerg. I think he's captain, isn't he? Pulled them out of it. And Saar, I remember the game he had against Liverpool in the 3-0 win. My God, he was absolutely sensational. Great picks. So Luke, who is the two as the base of your kind of 4-2-3-1? Who have you got as the two?
At this bit, I think because Skinner's also picked his Bernardo Silva, who I'm assuming is at like cam or traditional 10, I think I can add in.
Yeah, go for your three then, mate. Go for your three.
I've gone, yeah, because I've gone four and then two in midfield and then a wide wing, two wide wingers and then one behind the striker, which I'm assuming is the same as Bernardo Silva. So I'll just do my three.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
So the two that I sit in the middle of the park, I've gone Yuri Tielemans.
Nice.
Tielemans, again, he's another player who has had a more of an impact last season, but Leicester have brought him back and he's been phenomenal. He's, you know, he's got three goals and five assists this season, which isn't mind-blowing. But for someone who is a centre mid, they're pretty decent stats. And I just think he makes that Leicester side tick. You know, when he's on form, everyone is more settled.
You get Maddison playing as well, which is essential. He frees Maddison up.
Which is good.
Yeah,
it's good because Tielemans is a little bit lumbering. He's a bit heavy.
He's an all round player. He's good in the tackle. He's great on the ball. My other one, there were a couple of people. Fred was one I think has been really good this season, but I don't think across the whole season he's been as good as he has been in the last couple of months. So I don't think if we're looking at from August, he hasn't been as solid all year. Another one who, if injury hadn't have impacted him so much, Scott McTominay would have been straight in my side because he's arguably my favourite Manchester United player. And it's remarkable how different we are without Scott McTominay on the pitch, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say.
He's been incredible.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. It's just that injury again. He was out for a length of time, which I just don't think it's fair. You know, same with Bruno Fernandes. I'd love to have him in. He'd be straight in, but he's only been here since January. The other midfielder I have gone down the Watford route, but I've gone Doucouré.
Yep.
Because I think Doucouré and Tielemans, then you've got... I always look for three in midfield in that you want one that sits back and holds, one that can play box-to-box, and one that's job is to push forward. And I think Doucouré can play any one of those roles. He can sit back and anchor the defence. He can play box to box because of his physicality. But if you want him playing behind the striker, then he can also do that as well. He's brutal when he can just rip a side apart. He's been superb. Four goals, three assists as well, which is way more than I thought he had. And then as my cam role for those, you know, FIFA players or traditional number 10, so the one sitting behind the striker with wingers either side, I've gone Richarlison. I almost went Bruno Fernandes, even though he'd only been in, but I think that was my heart overruling my head because he hasn't been
the red mist.
If he'd been all season and his form had continued as it has since January, then fair enough, he'd be straight in. But I have gone Richarlison, who has got a remarkable 10 goals and 5 assists.
Wow, I didn't realise it was that
this
much.
This season for Everton. 10 goals
He's
and 5
phenomenal.
Assists. Yeah,
I put him on the left.
Yeah, no, I want him tucked right behind the striker. So he's playing in that. So you've got, you know, Doucouré, Tielemans and Richarlison. I think those three are going to get you goals.
Richarlison, I was reading, I think it was yesterday, that he... The move he made in Brazil at his first club, he only had enough money for the train fare to go one way to the club. And if the trial didn't go well and he didn't get it, he didn't have the money to get home. Yeah. It's just incredible when you read about
love
people like that.
Love him as a person.
Yeah, as a person as well.
Yeah, love him as a person.
Brazil squad announcement.
Absolutely wonderful.
He was sat with his family and they were all loving it. He's, he must be a real hero then, a real inspiration. And yeah, at the 10 goal, 5 assists, I really didn't realise how well he'd done this season, actually. I think because Everton have kind of stuttered, you kind of miss out on individual performances.
When he's not there, they feel it. He is their presence. He is their everything. Like he makes it. Without them having a striker as well, they've really weighed heavy on him, and he's just come up with a good season after season as well. Since that move,
definitely.
As well, he's awesome, and I think he deserves a lot more credit. So I'm glad he chose
that. Doucouré as well. I actually think, regardless of whether Watford stay up or go down, I think he will move. I think a lot of teams further up the league could really use you know, he's quite dynamic, he's quite athletic, and I think he'd be perfect at us. I'd absolutely love him for in that Wolves midfield. But we could dream. Skinner, so I won't ask for your full front three, so we'll save the strikers to last. So your two, I assume, wider men.
Yeah, my wide folks. So obviously, I probably would have gone with Mane and Salah if in an ideal world, you know, that's been chosen. They are like another level. But if I'm not choosing them, I would have Richarlison on my left hand side. It was very close between getting Zaha in and playing some sort of Grealish hybrid, just for the sake of getting Grealish in, because, you know, he hasn't really come into the midfield much.
Mitch had Grealish.
Grealish, okay. So I'd put Richarlison on my left, but it would be closely followed by Zaha. If only Zaha would have had like a little bit better of a season like he had last year and got into it. I didn't think he really got stuck into it this year, but I do think lots of fouls against Zaha stop him from doing what he needs to be done. So it'd certainly be Richarlison on what we've just discussed. And on the right hand side, I'd put Dan James. He's really brought the fire, and every time he's on the ball, he's an absolute threat. And is he committed? How committed is he? He's very committed, is the answer. Seeing him play for Wales as well, no matter who he plays for, he's like a greyhound. He's like a rat up a shutter. So I really enjoy seeing him play. I was skeptical at first because I wasn't sure how he played, but the style of play, I like him because he's got an edge to him. He's a little bit cheeky as well. He gets those fouls. He winds people up, but he does the damage on the right hand side. So Dan James,
that's a great show. He's really risen to it. Obviously, he absolutely started like a house on fire, and after that, people kind of thought, oh, he's dropped off. But United's form wasn't great, and I actually think he's still really shone. He's such a threat. He's absolutely rapid.
Absolutely.
He knows that he knows where the goal is. He can score goals, and I think wait till we see him next year. I think he's got the first season out the way. He'll know what the Premier League's all about. He'll know his teammates. United will strengthen. He'll be fed by people like Fernandez and stuff. I think next season, I think he is going to be absolutely frightening.
Yeah, I think he can certainly be that Valencia role of when he just kept feeding Rooney on the right hand side for someone. I think he's just primed for it. Other little shouts, which like little mentions, would be Fleck, Pulisic, and Harvey Barnes. I like
very
all those
good.
Players.
Yeah, Pulisic had a big impact at Chelsea, definitely.
Huge.
Chipping in with goals there. Yeah, very good. Harvey Barnes has been fantastic. I think he deserves it.
Harvey Barnes has been great. It was very difficult not to just pick Leicester.
Yeah, they've done very well. So, Luke, who are your two wide men behind your striker?
Okay, I had a couple of choices, which I sort of was toying with. On the left, it was a toss-up between Marcus Rashford, because he plays his best stuff when he's playing out wide rather than through the middle. Again, though, injury curtailed that for me somewhat. It was very, very close, though, to the player that I actually chose, which is South Korea's favourite soldier of fortune.
Beautiful.
Mr. Sun, who is just... He's outrageous. He's got 9 goals, 9 assists for that Tottenham squad, who, as Mitch said on the previous episode, have been flat as a witch's tit this season. But Sun has been an absolute shining light in that team. On the right hand side, I've gone for Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah,
nice.
He's been the player for Man City that Raheem Sterling was last year, and I expected Sterling to kick on this year. But even I still think Sterling's been phenomenal. I just don't think he's been as good as he was last year, but that's because he set such a high standard last year.
I love Sterling, though. I think he should be there.
He's not... I think he should if we're looking at teams of the last 5 years, but if you're looking at team of just this season so far, I think Mahrez has outshone him. And against the odds, almost, because Mahrez, in my mind, rightly or wrongly, was always seen as a backup option behind, you know, Sterling and Bernardo.
He just didn't get the game time, first of all. And now he was brought in. He was kept in a cage, basically, and wound up. and then just told to attack. And he certainly proved his
incredible the scouting, because when they signed skills. Him, I just thought he doesn't suit Pep's wingers. I thought strange by Pep, but Pep obviously knew that you know he'll train with us, he'll get used to it, and he'll fit the system. And you know, obviously what he saw, and it's all just shining now. And he's so consistent. Yeah, he's so good. He knows where the goal is. He's so accurate, and his dribbling seems to have come on. He seems to have bulked up a little bit. He looks stronger. He looks more powerful. He just looks more elite player. And like I said with James, I think next season again. Now I think Mahrez is going to be absolutely frightening.
Players under Pep Guardiola. Must be something to do with the training.
I think he was a proper slight skinny, easily knocked off the ball at Leicester, but had some magic. And I think perhaps Pep just doesn't want his players like that easily going down. So perhaps, bulk up, fight back a bit. And it's working.
Someone else who almost made my right wing spot as well was Traore.
Traore is unlucky to not be in any team, I think.
Adam has been superb for Wolves. But Mahrez, 7 goals and 10 assists, which is ludicrous.
That is right.
For the short space that the short time he played, then that is scary good. But I wouldn't put him in place of Sterling now. But
this
anyway.
Season, I would. Mahrez has been far better than Sterling this season. I think over the last few seasons, fine. But if we're just looking at this season on its own, Mahrez has been better. His play has led to more goals. He scored more, he's assisted more.
So, who will these players be assisting? Skinner, who is your last player? Who's your striker?
The best striker to ever grace the Premier League, it is Aguero. Hands down, Aguero.
There is no arguing.
No, one
no
says
he
him,
was
right?
Honourable mention, but he was.
Right, there's no arguing. There's no one comes close. There's no one that comes close to him. If we're going to season by season, yes, Vardy scored the most. But however, if we look at it, impact and getting the job done consistently over time, big game players, I'm looking nowhere else. I'm looking square in the eyes of Kun Aguero. Now I've got a couple of mentions. Certainly mentions to go along with that. As there's. Jimenez, who I think is outrageously good. He's been a pleasure to watch, and the amount of games that have been thrown at him, and he's just kept performing this season has been just a joy. He's been a joy to watch, and you can rely on him. You can rely.
I don't even
know
what we'd be like if he wasn't there. Scares me, frightens me.
Yeah, absolutely scary to think, right? Christ knows his worth now, but it's exciting. If you see him on the team sheet, it's just exciting. You know what you're going to get. And he's really hit his peak, I'd say, this season, which is, like, if he keeps going with that, like, there's no end to his potential. Other mentions, Heung-min Son, I would have maybe put him on the wing. But again, as Luke mentioned, he should be there or thereabouts, or, like, considered to be like the fantastic player that he is, always has been underrated. Now he's really shone through, especially without Kane being there. He's really stepped into that, as well as if you look into what he's been through as well this season and last season with the doing military service and whatever else is just awesome. Otherwise, I'd say Chris Wood is one of those very underrated forward players.
I knew you were saying Chris Wood. I've written on my notepad, Skinner will pick Chris Wood.
He's so underrated for a little unit up front that no one even
I've
sees
never
it. And then obviously,
love a player so much as you love Chris Wood.
Yeah, you know. And then for a twist up, Firmino has to be considered, because he's just new in that role. He's just a new, he's just a hybrid, which I still can't get my head around how he links everything together and is so nonchalantly like assist oriented.
It's a new thing non-goal scoring strikers now, and how much it's just fantastic. He sacrifices himself so much, but it just works, and it's brilliant.
In essence, you've got two strikers in Mane and Salah, and you've just got Firmino as well as everyone else feeding it. So you've just did the swap out. So they're attacking. So I can't remember that ever being done before to this level, and to have that connection between the three. But Aguero would be top dog for me.
Fantastic. And Luke, up front for you?
Okay. Obviously, because we can't pick Jamie Vardy, because you two, both you and Mitch, and both picked him.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Aguero shout. It's mm-hmm. been phenomenal. But when this was the first position that I wrote down a name, and it's never even entered into my head to pick anyone else. Danny Ings. Outside of Jamie Vardy, he's been phenomenal. Like, to score the amount of goals that he has done for a side that aren't one of the, you know, the big sides of the league. He scored 15 goals this season. And to do so after being at Liverpool and being out of the first team picture, after he was shone at Burnley, made the move to a bigger club, didn't work out, hasn't affected him. He's come straight into Southampton, and he's been phenomenal. Like, he was the easiest selection for me.
I think he, because of the move in of the Euros, I think he's been robbed of a European Championship this summer, because I think he'd have gone. And I think next year, obviously, yeah, it's going to be tougher with Kane and Rashford back. Yeah. It's going to be a little bit more competition for him, but I just think he'd have gone. His form was phenomenal. He's basically, you'd stand them dead and buried. And he's just given them something so powerful up front. His finishing is incredible. He half a chance and he just buries it. He's so good. He looks fitter than he's ever been. He looks stronger than he's ever been. And he just looks happy. And when you see players like that at a club where they just look settled and look happy, they shine, and you just really see it there. And fair play to the Southampton board for backing Hasenhüttl, and then to him getting the best out of Ings, because it's great to see. It's really, you know, he's had rotten injuries. It's brilliant seeing what he can do, and it's who knows, he could get another move to a big club after this again. I think he can be going back up there.
I just think, yeah, I think that when you look at every, you know, all the other players that we've discussed, Aguero has scored 16 goals. Danny Ings has got 15. Danny Ings has outscored Mane this season. We've all mentioned Mane. Danny Ings has scored more than him. And Southampton, 14th. You know, they don't get many chances, but when they do, if you're that sort of team, so like, you know, around the level of, you're not in the relegation zone, but you could be drawn into it if you lose a few games, to have a striker that, you know, if you get the ball to him, he will put it away. That's what keeps you in the league.
Mm.
That will keep teams up. And he's done it time and time again. 15 goals is outrageous. Like I say, he's outscored Mane. He's only four behind Jamie Vardy, and less than third.
That is incredible. Another name not mentioned, and it might have been mentioned last time, but I'm not sure. Obviously, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's had a great season. Another one who I think may have been robbed of the European Championships, because he may well have gone as well. Obviously, Kane and Rashford were both injured, so he's been...
For a young upstart, for sure. I think he's only kicked in the second half of this half season.
But do you, like I asked with the goalkeepers, where do you think this Premier League this cohort of strikers ranks in the kind of all-time Premier League seasons? Obviously, over the years, we used to have it in the same seasons. We used to have Drogba, Henry and Nistelrooy and things like that. Where do this current crop kind of rank against all those lot?
I don't think it's as high up as goalkeepers. I think you're right with goalkeepers. Yeah. I think this is one of the best crops of goalkeepers we've had. I think there are a number of very good strikers. However, we used to have players like Viali, Zola, Klinsmann, Shearer, Cantona, you know, that sort of level. Mm-hmm. Then moving forward, like you say, you have Omri, Drogba, Tevez, Rooney, Ronaldo. You know, I just think there are a number of good strikers right now. However, apart from the... I've said it countless times, I think one of the most overrated footballers is Harry Kane. I don't think on the top level I don't think there's many top teams in Europe who would be looking at the strikers in the Premier League and going, oh, I'd like it.
Do you think it's because the position itself has changed? Obviously, if you like the strikers we mentioned before, a lot of them used to have strike partners, and it was your old-fashioned two up front who would, you know, you'd need that. Every team in the league, even if they went down, would have a 20-goal man, because it would be up to them to score the goals. Talking about Liverpool and Firmino and stuff, it's, you know, strikers' roles are a little bit different now. Like, Jimenez gets goals for us, but he's primarily a hold-up striker. Firmino does it. Do you reckon the current style of football and the how modern football's gone is kind of taking about 6 or 7 goals a year off these strikers.
Absolutely. When you consider that format, that triangle, which you've got Firmino, you've got Salah, and you've got Mane all interlinking to create like a communal goal feast. It's certainly different, but like that huge name. I've spoken about Aguero being one of the better ones, but without the fact that there's like a dominant Ronaldo or a Messi in this league, the game's changed a lot, and you're just not going to have those type of players, and it's going to be forced into how much you can push with the team mentality and how you can like transition, like those triangles that Liverpool pull and maneuver, and there's always a backup, and then you've got like Origi who can come in. It's that system where everyone knows their roles so well, which I think has really come into it. So I think it's just the game's evolved.
I think this is why I don't actually like watching Harry Kane as much as other people seem to do. I think Harry Kane, when he's fit, which is a rarity these days, is a great goal scorer. But I will forever argue that I don't think he's a good footballer. He's not a great footballer, I should say. He's a great goal scorer, but you've got players who are far better. And I think it's the front three, like we're saying. There is an attacking unit now, not a centre forward as a number 9. I don't think it's new, though. Manchester United won the European Cup in 2008 with a front three of Tevez, Rooney and Ronaldo, who throughout every game would constantly be switching position.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
Well, there you go. Luke here to round things up. Thank you very much to Mitchell for the beautiful introduction at the start of this podcast. Thank you very much to Jordan Lloyd for hosting. Myself and Mr. Alex Skinner picking our alternative Premier League teams of the year. I just want to start this outro, if you will, with an apology for the abrupt end. The site that we use to host the podcast, especially during these socially distant times where we can't all be in the same studio together, crashed right at the end of the recording. We've managed to salvage it, so hence why you've just listened to a full podcast, but that's why it ends abruptly. Let us know your thoughts on our alternative teams of the year. Between the four of us now, we've picked four different teams of the year. So go back and listen to episode 135, where Jordan and Mitch picked theirs. And let us know if you think we've missed anyone out at A Touchline Rant, everywhere you get your media socially. But for now, it's just time to thank Bendigedig Media, our producers. Thank you, the listeners. And we will see you again next week. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.